This is very exciting and slightly scary. I'm told coming to preach in a new place is a really good thing because you can say what you like and then disappear. I think it's quite a scary thing because preaching in a place where you know everybody, you at least have an idea where you might be sending out some ripples. Here, I have no idea, but how exciting. So, we've got a very interesting reading for today. It's our lectionary reading from Matthew. And I think it would be quite good to get a little bit of context of kind of where it came from. So, who were the Pharisees? And I'm sure many of you would be able to say, well, obviously the Pharisees were. They were a Jewish religious group. They felt really quite threatened by who Jesus was and what he was preaching. And it seems his interactions with the Pharisees are always relatively heated, and they always seem to be trying to trip him up. If you read back a few chapters, you'll discover that actually in Matthew 21, Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem already. He's arrived on his donkey. People are shouting, "Hosanna!" This has already happened. We now get the Pharisees coming and having a bit of a go at him. I suspect they know all about what he's been doing and are a little bit niggled by what is going on. And the issue of paying tax is a really, really hot topic for the Jewish people. Imagine for a moment going to bed one night, England is as normal, waking up the next morning, and a group of people that have come from the other side of the world have taken over our country, and they are now demanding that you pay tax as a reward for having stolen your land. I don't know about you, I would not be too happy about this. So the Jewish people are not happy about the idea of tax, but obviously the Romans are saying, no, come along, pay up, that's what you've got to do. And actually previously there have been lots of people, lots of revolutionaries within the Jewish people that have tried to stand up and say, no tax, we're not doing it. But the Romans have responded to this by crucifying most of them. So Jesus is aware of what is going on and the context around that. So it's quite a loaded question. What do we do about taxes? Do you tell the people not to pay tax? And actually, you might end up on the cross, like the rest of the revolutionaries. On the other hand, if you're leading a Kingdom of God movement, surely there's an expectation to oppose this tax, if it's Kingdom of God versus the Romans. If not, why had they spent time shouting Hosanna only a few days before? So Jesus looks at this, and you can tell from the reading that he knows exactly what these Pharisees are trying to do. He can tell that there is a tripping up going to happen if he's not careful. His ability to understand and know what's going on is amazing. And so Jesus says, actually, let's look at this coin. It's really useful to note at this point that actually the Jewish people were not allowed to have an image of anybody on anything, okay? It was too much like idolatry. They just couldn't cope with the idea. So having Caesar's face on this coin was really rubbing salt in the wound, looking at this Roman coin. So you've got the Jewish people really don't like it because they're under occupation. You've got the fact that actually it assaults them in terms of their religious way of being. And you've also got an inscription above Caesar's face that says, Son of God. I mean, how to really rile the Jewish people. You couldn't really ask for much more, really. So you can kind of get an idea why actually a lot of the Jewish people were not at all interested in the idea of paying tax and had an issue with it. So what does Jesus do? He says, give me a coin. And the Pharisees produce one. Now, I mean, you might gloss over that, but actually that kind of suggests that they're actually in on this. They are paying taxes. They have Caesar's coins on their very being, showing that they handle it. Jesus looks at the coin and says, who is this? The response, of course, is, it's Caesar's. Jesus' response, pay Caesar back in his own coin. What does that mean? Was he serious? Was he actually saying, I mean, I can understand the Pharisees going, what is Jesus trying to say to me here? Because in one way, his comment is quite flippant. And you could think he's trying to say, don't pay the tax, you know, give Caesar back to what is Caesar's, don't bother. But he's also holding the coin at the same time, saying, give Caesar back what is Caesar's, pay the taxes. No one could really tell whether this was a revolutionary kind of moment or not. But he continues and then says, you'd better pay God back what is his. So there's more confusion. Was he saying that God was more important than Caesar? And these poor Pharisees, well, I say poor Pharisees, they were attempting to trip up Jesus. They weren't poor in the slightest. They knew what they were trying to do, but they did not succeed. He managed to get them going away. They were amazed. I mean, I think actually they were quite confuddled with what was going on. Was he trying to say, pay it? Was he saying don't? He also talks about the kingdom of God and giving God back to what is God's. Well, what is God's? And they wander off, I think, feeling quite bemused. But what's interesting and what I think he's trying to get at is he's not allowing them to push him into a direction that he doesn't want to go. He knows he's there for a purpose. And that purpose is to follow God's plan. And he's not going to let them trip up. I think it's really interesting to know that a lot of the revolutionaries ended up on a cross. Jesus also ends up on a cross, but not until it's the right time. He's not going to be tripped up. I'm not sure that Jesus was giving us an outright message about taxes and political power. I don't know that in that moment he was talking about what about God and about the political power forever and ever and ever. I think he was countering the Pharisees' challenge, walking towards the cross, but on his own terms, not on theirs. So I guess my question today is, well, what does this mean for me and for you? It's all very well, Hannah, knowing all of this wonderful context about the Jewish people and what they thought and what the Pharisees were trying to do. But what does it mean to me? Because if our faith doesn't make a difference to me right here, right now, there's not a lot of point to it. I think it's quite clear that Jesus commands us to give to God what is his. I think it could be translated to honour God in all things, to recognise his superiority. And I think we can take a reminder from that part, and maybe leave the question of whether or not do we pay taxes? Well, that's a good question. If we look at our coins have all got the Queen on it or other wonderful people, but our coins also have the identity of someone else. But does that mean we don't give that to God? I don't know. But I think rather we're thinking about what we're giving. What is God's? What has God given us? Is God at the centre of our lives? That might include a conversation about what we do with our money. I mean, it's very clear this passage is all about one coin. What does God call us to do with our money? But it's much more than that. My challenge is over the next week is to consider, is God at the centre of my life? Maybe that's thinking about our money. Maybe it's thinking about our time, what we do with it, our rest, our relaxation. It's not to say that rest and relaxation is not required. It most definitely is. But actually, if everything that we have been given, we need to give back to God and say, actually, we honour you, God. What are we doing with it? Maybe it's about the way we speak. Did I speak as if God was at the centre of my life when I spoke rather sharply to my husband? Possibly not. Maybe I could try to do it differently. Maybe it's about who we share our faith with. Maybe it's about the way we behave. Let's finish in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are here for us, guiding us and walking with us on the way of life. We ask that this passage may be to us a reminder to center ourselves on you, that you would give us the inspiration and the wisdom to know where that centering might need to have a small adjustment. Amen.